Thank you, preacher. Appreciate you. Amen. It's an honor to be here. And Brother Josh said that I can only go up from here. And I would say not necessarily. Amen. Amen. It's an honor to be here, preacher. Thank you so much for the accommodations. And thank you, Bible Baptist Church, for your sacrifice for this meeting. And it's always a blessing. I don't come necessarily to preach, preacher. I come to get help. And every time I've ever come, the Lord has helped me through this meeting. And I thank God for the opportunity to be here this morning. Revelation chapter number 1 in your Bible this morning. Revelation chapter 1. When you find your place, I'll invite you to stand as we look into God's Word together this morning. Revelation chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those sayings which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they had burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege to be here. We thank you for this meeting. Lord, we thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the preaching that we've heard thus far. And Lord, now I pray that you'd help me. Lord, you know that I'm nervous. God, you know that I need your help. And I pray that you'd touch me, God, that you'd fill me with your power and your spirit. May you speak through us this morning. May the word of God have free course and the spirit of God have liberty to move in our midst. I pray you bless the remainder of this meeting. And God, that you'd get honor and glory out of everything that's said and done. Father, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that through the preaching of the word of God, that Christ would be exalted, and God, that you'd use it in our hearts, Lord, to make us more like the Lord Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Many have attempted to portray what the Lord Jesus Christ looks like. A lot of folks try to paint him like a Fabio or like some character that they've imagined in their own mind, and some have tried to depict him in paintings in the early days of him teaching in the temple, and then there's all types of different pictures that folks may have about the Lord Jesus Christ that they have fashioned in their own mind. But the reality is, I believe that Revelation chapter 1 gives us the most detailed description of the Lord Jesus in the whole of the Bible. I would submit to you that that's what the book of the Revelation is all about. The word revelation means an unveiling. It means revealing. It means a manifestation. And according to verse number 1, it's not John's revelation. It's Jesus' revelation of himself to John. Revelation is the unveiling of Jesus in all his power and in all his glory. It's been some 60 years since John last saw him, but on this day he got a fresh glimpse of the Lamb of God. Revelation is not just about the end of time. It's about the one who is outside of time, outside of space, and outside of matter. It's about the one who is not bound by time. And there's a lot of great things that John sees in this great book. John sees in chapter 2 and 3, he sees the church. In chapter 4, verse number 1, he sees the catching away. In chapter 4 and 5, he gets a glimpse of worship in the heavenly throne room. In chapter 6 through 18, John sees the tribulation period. In chapter 19, John sees the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm glad this morning that Christ is still coming again. Amen. This same Jesus that you see go away, the Bible says, he shall so come in like manner just as you've seen him go. In chapter 19, 17 through 21, he sees the battle of all battles, the battle of Armageddon. In chapter 20, verse 1 through 6, John sees the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that's still a reality, amen, that Christ is going to rule and reign from the throne of David. And the Bible reveals that he's going to rule with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. And then in chapter 20, thank God, I'm glad that John saw the doom of Satan, amen. The Bible says that he's going to be cast into the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, and the smoke of their torment's going to go up day and night forever and ever, amen. I'm glad this morning that the devil who bothers us here, thank God he cannot follow us home, amen. In chapter 20, John sees the great white throne judgment. In chapter 21 and 2, John sees the eternal estate and the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He saw jasper walls. He saw gates of pearl. He saw the crystal river. He saw the foundation of the wall with all manner of precious stones. He saw the street of pure gold. He saw the tree of life. He saw those tree, that tree that blooms with 12 manner of fruit that yields year round. John saw some wonderful things. But the most wonderful thing that John saw is found in chapter number 1 when he sees the glorified, resurrected, ruling, and reigning Son of God. Thank God John saw the one who is. He's ever present. He saw the one who was in eternity past. He saw the one who is to come as the imminent promise of the soon coming King. In verse number 5, we see the testimony of Christ. Thank God he is the faithful witness. Amen. You can always depend on the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, there's been a lot of witnesses that entered into the courtrooms across America, and their witness was not dependable. Their witness was not credible. But I'm glad there's one that's seated on high at the right hand of the throne of God. And thank God he is the faithful witness. Amen. And then we see the triumph of Christ. He's the first begotten of the dead. In verse number 5, we see his life. The first begotten of the dead. He wasn't the first one to enter death's door and return, but he was the first one to enter death's door, return, and never enter in to death's door again. You say, how do we know that, preacher? Because John saw. And when John saw him, he didn't see him with a beaten body, and he didn't see him hanging there with an exposed body on a cruel Roman cross. He didn't see him as a man with his visage marred beyond human recognition, but
he saw him in his glorified, resurrected state, and he was exalted. Amen. I'm glad the Bible says that God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And one day the Bible says that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We see his life. He's the first begotten of the dead. We see his lordship. He's the prince of the kings of the earth. When he came the first time, he wasn't even the mayor of Mayberry. But when he comes again, he will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see his love. The Bible says that John, when he saw him, he said, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. I thank God this morning for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody ever did for you and I what Jesus did. I say thank God that Christ came into the world, that he lived a perfectly sinless life, but he died a sacrificial death and shed his pure and powerful and pardoning blood. I say bless his name this morning for the fact that he shed his precious blood for our sins. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The love of God was demonstrated at Calvary. Amen. Unto him that loved us. Note who saw Jesus. The Bible tells us in verse number 9. He said, I, John, who also am your brother, your companion in tribulation. Notice where John saw him. In verse number 9, the latter part of the verse, it says that he saw him while he was on the isle that is called Patmos. Here's John. He's in exile. History tells us that John was there for about 18 months, beginning around 98-95 AD. And this island was used by the Romans as a penal colony. Roman soldiers would work the prisoners there in rock mines. I mean, it wasn't like the prisons that you and I have around us today, where there's three squares and a cot and air conditioning and heated buildings and bunks and television and radio and text messaging capabilities. One writer said that exile was preceded by scourging. It was marked by perpetual fetters, scanty clothing, insufficient food, sleep on bare ground in a dark prison, and work under the lash of military overseers. And here's John as a 90-year-old man who's there for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He's there for preaching the truth. He's there because of his stand for the Lord Jesus, and he's likely there because he would not recognize and he would not acknowledge Caesar as Lord, because he knew that there was only one Lord. Amen. And it was there that John saw Jesus. He was there. He was abandoned, but thank God he was not alone. He was there and he was forsaken, but thank God he was not forgotten. And in the midst of exile, John saw Jesus exalted. Notice when he saw Jesus in verse number 10. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Here he is. And instead of pouting, he's shouting. Instead of whining, he's worshiping. They might have exiled John from his country, but thank God they could not exile John from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning that John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. His geographical limitations, one writer said, were no hindrance to his spiritual vision. A dark dungeon was not able to imprison his free spirit. And here's John in the worst circumstances that anybody could ask for, and he's not whining, and he's not belly aching, and he's not complaining. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he gets a fresh glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, it's amazing today what keeps folks from worshiping. I mean, pleasure will keep them from worshiping. Things of this world and pursuing material goods will keep them from worshiping. For some, it's just plain passivity that will keep them from worshiping. But even being in prison could not keep John from worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw the Lord Jesus. Isn't that what we want to see this week? That's right. We want to see, I believe Brother Gravely's vision for this meeting is that we might see the Lord Jesus high and holy and lifted up. It's not about preachers. It's not about men. It's not about what man can accomplish. It's not about what man can do. I tell you, there's one thing that brings us all here this morning, and it's the fact that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the Son of God, became the sons of men that we might be made the sons of God. I say thank God this morning for Jesus. That's what brings us all together here today, is the fact that we've been saved by the grace of God, that we've been bought with a price, and we want to glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which are His this morning. Amen. John saw that Jesus was preeminent in His person. He saw that He was preeminent in His person. In verse number 11, John saw. I'm talking about this morning. John saw. What did he see? He saw Christ. That's what we need to see. He saw John. John saw Jesus was preeminent in His person. In verse number 11, he said that he heard that voice that was as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first letter in the Greek alphabet and the last letter in the Greek alphabet. What does it tell us about the Lord Jesus? It tells us that He is all-knowing. It tells us that He is all-powerful. It tells us that He is all-encompassing. Thank God this morning He is the first and the last. He is preeminent. He started it all, and my friend, He will end it all. He's the Almighty. Rulers have come. Rulers have gone. Kings have come and kings have gone, but Jesus Christ remained. I'm telling you that nations have risen and nations have fallen. Kingdoms have come and kingdoms have gone. But He said of His kingdom, there shall be no end. He's superior to all this morning. Amen. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1:18, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence. Thank God He's to hold first place. He's Alpha, He's Omega, He's everything in between. And here we see Jesus Christ, not as a mere prophet, not as a mere teacher, not as a mere preacher, not as a mere man, but we see here in this text that Jesus Christ is God, very God. Amen. He is the Almighty. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, the first and the last. And when it's all said and done, it's all about Christ this morning. Amen. In verse number 8, the Father is referred to as Alpha and Omega. In verse number 11, the Son is referred to as Alpha and Omega. In Isaiah 41:4, who hath wrought and done it, calling the generations from the beginning, I the Lord, the first, and with the last, I am He. In Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. Isaiah 48:12, hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called, I am He. I am the first, and also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. And when I call unto them, they stand up together. I want to say we need to be reminded this morning that there is nobody like the Lord Jesus. He is preeminent. He is first. He is foremost. And there's nobody like Him. Not only do we see His preeminence and His position, but we see that He's present with His people. In verse number 11, he said, I want you to, what you see, I want you to write it in a book, and I want you to send it unto the seven churches, those that are in Asia. And in verse number 12, he said, I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw the seven golden candlesticks, which are a picture, as we know, it's later revealed that these are the seven churches. But I like how verse number 13 starts. The Bible says, and in the midst, in the midst, in the midst, in the middle of it all, in the middle of the church, amen, in the midst, the Bible says, one like unto the Son of Man. I'm glad this morning that Christ is still with his people, amen. Verse 20 reveals the seven candlesticks are the seven churches. And these seven churches are seven literal churches, but they also depict the churches down through the ages. And these lampsticks, they're golden. They radiate the glory of God. Gold is precious metal, a precious metal. And the church is precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here he is. He's present. He's right in the midst of the people, his church. He's in the midst of the churches. Thank God for the church this morning. He is the head of the church. And he is the supreme ruler and power in the church. Amen. He's in the midst of the churches. The Bible tells you and I that the crowd that we look and see here in these churches, we know are God's people. We know that the church is God's means, his method of how he is working in this dispensation of time. And we understand today that the local New Testament assembly is the place where you and I come together to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's in the midst, amen. But then lastly, I see that he's powerful in his position. The Bible says that he's clothed with a garment down to the foot. Notice his clothing, his countenance in verse number 14 and 15. It says a flame of fire, his eyes, his communication, his voice is as the sound of many waters. His care in verse number 16, he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun. And when I saw him, John said, he said, I fell at his feet as a dead man. His conquering, he said, in verse 18, I'm he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. What are you saying this morning, preacher? John saw Jesus. John saw Jesus. John saw the Lamb of God. And that's what we need to see in these days. We need to see Christ high and holy and lifted up. It's all about him this morning. Amen. Amen. Thank you, preacher. Amen.